there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay Authenticity Guarantee. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
The starts and sits for week 6. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia. That is Pat Fitzmaurice and Andrew Erickson. And of course, it's you. And today, it's all about the starts and the sits for week 6 in the NFL. Bye weeks are here, which means things are going to get a little more complicated in our discussions, but that's okay, because we are the team that is ready and prepared to make those decisions. We've also got a myriad of injuries, as always, to discuss and how that's going to impact some of your lineups. But before we do, I want to remind everybody, make sure you head over to our YouTube channel and subscribe to Fantasy Pros. Again, that's youtube.com/fantasypros. Click that little bell for the notification so you get all the great content here, Fantasy Pros. Every single podcast is on the YouTube channel, not to mention our live streams that we do on Sunday and during the week. And don't forget about the cool videos we do as well. There might be a video of Dan Harris dancing like a crazy person. I cannot confirm or deny this, but it may be out sometime later this week. Also, don't forget to sync all your teams, if you haven't already, to My Playbook. Go to fantasypros.com/myplaybook. It's the easy way to set your lineup, save time, especially if you're in a lot of leagues. Or let's just say that, you know, you're in a league right now, too, where you're not off to the best start, and you still want to be competitive and set your lineups. Well, they have the autopilot feature too there, which allows you to set your lineups and forget them. It will make moves for you, automatically swap inactive players, automatically set your optimal lineup, and then you can go about your life and realize that team at 0-5 might be dead already, but you don't want to be that person who doesn't set a lineup. That's where autopilot can help you. Or if you're just busy and you have a life, sometimes you can't be there for lineup lock, but autopilot can be there, and you can only use autopilot at My Playbook. Gentlemen, we are here. It is week 6. Andrew, I know there's a lot to break down today, but really, I mean, to me, this is all about now. I feel like this is where the season starts, when we start to get to the bye weeks, and now you start to see maybe the teams that got off to some good starts, maybe some of that starts to marginalize a little bit, because now some players are going to be off the table. Atlanta, New Orleans, the Jets, and San Francisco off the table this week.
Yeah, it makes the players you get on the waiver wire, you can actually use them, you can plug and play them. So it's not just, oh, you just start your studs where you have quarterbacks that you can't use. So we actually have, you know, streamers that you legitimately need to plug into your lineups this week. Same thing with wide receiver. Obviously, all the attrition at the running back position has made the waiver wire basically the gateway to just starting running backs are all on the waiver wire. So it's starting to get a lot of fun. We have more data on like defensive matchups too. So we're starting to get a feel for what these teams are like. We thought we had ideas of it going into the season, and part of them are right, a lot of them are wrong. And it's nice to just kind of have a large enough sample size to really make even better decisions moving forward.
Well, Pat, the season comes in waves, right? It goes in ebbs and flows, and the opening of the season is not necessarily the close of the season. And I feel like that's something to always keep in mind. So if you haven't gotten off to the best start, it's not a reason to throw in the towel necessarily either. It's certainly a season where it's long enough where things can happen and things can start to turn around. And I feel like this is the opportunity where you can make some trades, pick some guys off the waiver wire. We even talked about on yesterday's show that could really have an impact. And as Andrew said, might go right into your lineup this week over some other guys that might be struggling.
Yeah, for sure. Not too late at all. I had a dynasty team a couple of years ago where I was 2-5 and wound up running the table and winning it. So it's definitely not too late. But yes, this is the opportune time to use some of these waiver guys right away, because, you know, normally we're used to getting the bye weeks early, like week 3 or 4 or whatever, and we're getting it later this week after the injuries have already started to really pile up. So there are going to be some interesting names in starting lineups this week.
Well, let's get to those names and let's start with the running backs, and let's start with the guys in the top 20 who were fading. Somebody in the top 20 in terms of rankings for running back. And again, you can check out all of those over at fantasypros.com. We've got all the rankings for every week for every single format. And Andrew, if there's somebody right now that you're a little worried in that top 20 about, maybe you're not taking them out of your lineup because you don't have a lot of options, but maybe you're building a lineup in a different way because of them, who would that name be?
For me, it's Damien Harris, running back for the New England Patriots. And I don't know. I mean, the guy continues to fumble. And it's definitely got me concerned about how he's going to be used now, potentially in a timeshare where we saw Ramondre Stevenson active for the first time in a while, ever since he ended up in the doghouse, which is now occupied by J.J. Taylor, which now may be occupied by Damien Harris, because these running backs just keep fumbling the ball. And it's become like a big point of emphasis for the New England Patriots, especially their running back head coach talk, or the running backs coach talked about how, like, they have real issues. Like, they're holding the ball way too loose, and other teams are starting to pick up on it, you know, on the Damien Harris fumble into the end zone. The guy punched it out because teams are preying on these running backs on the Patriots because they're not holding the ball nearly as secure as they need to be doing it. So we saw Stevenson play a decent amount even when Harris was still healthy in the game against the Houston Texans. So I don't think it's any guarantee that Harris just kind of goes back to his, you know, pseudo bell cow role where he's seeing all the work on first and second down. We already know he doesn't get the pass game work. Brandon Bolden has kind of taken over that role as the pass catching downs back. And I mean, they're playing the Dallas Cowboys this week. Are they going to be playing with a lead in that game? They barely beat the Houston Texans, who looked like an expansion team just a couple of weeks ago. So if they're playing with in a deficit, you know, trying to chase points, how much of Damien Harris are we going to see out there? Is it just going to be the Brandon Bolden show? Like, I'm just like really concerned about what his role is going to be kind of going forward, and especially in this matchup. And Dallas's defense is also really good. Third fewest rushing yards allowed to running backs this season. So that's not a cakewalk matchup. I have question marks about the role. And Ivan Fear is the running backs coach for the Patriots. He talked about Ramondre and talking about how he was starting out too cautious and how they want to get the cowbell going with that boy. Quote, whenever I hear the word bell cow, whichever order it in, and it's not the running back I have on my team, I'm concerned. I'm concerned. So, I mean, I think Harris's ECR is like 18. That's way too high.
Yeah. Well, we've all got a fever and the only cure is more Ramondre Stevenson. How about you, Pat? Who in the top 20 for you is a little bit of a concern this week?
So I'll go to the bottom of the top 20 and take Javonte Williams. I just think people are so hasty to try to shove Melvin Gordon out the door. And we just know that's been a 50-50 split. And there's been no indication that the Broncos are going to get away from that. And they're going up against a Raiders run defense that really hasn't been that bad so far. I think 21st, according to PFF's grade, 14th, according to Football Outsiders DVOA. For run defense. So really not that bad a defense. Maybe the Raiders come out flat in the wake of all the John Gruden stuff and the Broncos just run all over them with both backs. But I don't know. It just seems like running back 20 is a little bit too high for Javonte and a guy who's only got a 50% share in that backfield.
Yeah, I am hopeful, though, that as the season goes on, he starts to separate himself from Gordon. But you're right. So far, we haven't seen the reason for that thinking yet. I think it's just my foolish, cautious optimism that I just keep hoping that's going to be the case eventually.
No one likes Melvin Gordon, Joe. Everyone wants to shove him out the door. But this is a guy who scored a lot of touchdowns for people in fantasy football over the last 6-7 years or whatever. So
at the end of a few drafts late in the season and draft season, I picked up a couple of shares of Melvin Gordon just because he was so cheap. I said, well, you know, I'd rather have Javonte Williams, but I'll take Melvin Gordon. And you know what? In those rosters, I'm actually happy that I have him, because running back has been brutal, to say the least, this year. For me, it's Josh Jacobs, also pushing that 20 number as well. It's more the matchup against Denver. It's where it is, too, on the road in Denver, as Pat was mentioning, too. What is the philosophy with Gruden gone? Just a lot of questions. Now, I do think Jacobs actually looks snappier, and I even mentioned this with Pat on Sunday night. He looked healthier than he's been all year, but at the same time, he hasn't rushed for 50 yards in a game all year. And I don't know how he can be ranking guys in the top 20 that don't rush for 50 yards. I mean, I know the health has been an issue. I get all that. But Josh Jacobs right now, I think in this specific matchup and in the altitude, is just something, too many concerns for me. I don't know if I want to sit him necessarily, but at least I'm looking to have a little bit more boom potentially in my flex spots. Let's get over to the rest of the guys that are on that bubble of RB2. We've got Darrell Williams, Miles Gaskin, Tony Pollard, Latavius Murray, Alexander Mattison. Andrew, when you hear all these names, these sound like guys who are probably going to be starting in most lineups this week, correct?
Yeah, for the most part, they'll be in there.
All right, let's move on to the next grouping now, because now we're talking about Jamal Williams, Devin Singletary, Devontae Booker, Miles Sanders. I want to start here. Pat, Miles Sanders and Devontae Booker, right? I mean, I can't believe we're going to have this conversation, but I'm going to ask this right now. They're ranked back-to-back. Do you see a situation where you feel better about starting Devontae Booker this week off the waiver wire than Miles Sanders, considering his matchup Thursday night against the Tampa Bay Bucs?
Absolutely no idea why they're close to each other in ECR. I mean, it's I'd much rather have Booker, who looks like he's going to be a third down, like a three down back. They didn't even use Gary Brightwell last week after Saquon went out, their third back, and maybe they'll get him into the mix this week. But it seems like Booker could have a really big role in this game. And with Miles Sanders, we've got a guy who is on a team that has given their running backs 26 carries over the last 3 weeks and are now going up against the biggest pass funnel defense in the NFL. The teams throw on 75% of the time. I mean, we've seen teams just completely abandon, even the Patriots abandon the run when they played the Buccaneers. So I think it could be a big Kenneth Gainwell game, even though he kind of disappeared in week five. You know, if Sanders had six targets last week, or I think it was six targets that he turned into five catches for 6 yards.
Now, I was going to say, it was like 6 for 6 yards, I think it was.
Which yeah, started. I mean, every single pass was behind the line of scrimmage. I think in some cases, like 8 yards, 6 yards behind the line of scrimmage. So even if they do throw to him a little bit, it just doesn't seem like a way for Sanders to profit in that game off his pass catching ability. It's a terrible setup for him.
All right, Andrew, your thoughts on Miles Sanders this week against Tampa too. Is he a must sit?
Yeah, I'm trying to sit him. I mean, I looked at the half point PPR rankings over the past, or the standings through 5 weeks. Miles Sanders is RB32 and Kenneth Gainwell is RB33. They're
with a lot less touching the football.
Yeah, they're neck and neck, and it's hard for me not to look at the match and be like, would I rather just play Kenneth Gainwell? Do I think that this Miles Sanders resurgence in their passing game is that going to stay when it's been Kenneth Gainwell this entire time? You know, his target rate per route run, 29%. He's top five in the NFL. So when he is running routes, he's getting targets, where, you know, last week it was a lot of forced targets towards Miles Sanders and they didn't really get anything out of it. So, you know, I like to think that coaches go back and review the film and see what, okay, like throwing the ball to Miles Sanders did not work last week. Like, why are we going to do it again? You know, I think that to kind of take a page out of what Miami did, they watched Malcolm Brown run the football for 2 weeks and they're like, well, let's get Miles Gaskin back in there because I think he's better. So I think that it would make a lot of sense that they go back to Kenneth Gainwell in the passing game because Sanders has had his opportunities and has just kind of, you know, basically, you know, dropped the ball on him. Have a nice pun there, but yeah, I'm probably out on Sanders again. What's going to end up happening? They're going to stuff the box. He's going to run out for like an 80 yard touchdown because that's what Miles Sanders always does. Is he's just big playability, but that's not something you're going to bank on, especially against the number one run defense in the NFL. So, I mean, I basically am going to have them Kenneth Gainwell and Sanders back to back, but I honestly would not, you know, be opposed to starting Gainwell over Sanders straight up.
You know, you mentioned Gaskin there for a second, too. He's got a matchup against Jacksonville. Pat, is he a guy that you would start this week after that big performance last week where we didn't see that coming necessarily? He was catching the football a lot more than normally, and you're also getting Tua back for this game. Is Gaskin a guy that you would start this week?
I think I would. I mean, the yo-yo usage has been a little bit confusing. He played like 23% of the snaps in week four and then was up to 69% last week. And they kind of used him against that pass funnel defense to catch a lot of balls. So he's, I just think he's the much better player than Malcolm Brown, even though teams really like Malcolm Brown for some reason and his versatility, but I do think Gaskin is their best weapon. And against a Jacksonville defense that's, I think, 28th graded against the run per PFF and has given up 9 touchdown runs, I think there's, you know, merit to starting Gaskin this week.
All right, let's play a little game here. Thanks to our Who Should I Start tool over fantasypros.com/start. Basically, it compares two players and it gives you the projections for them. And these are guys that are relatively close and we could talk about right now. Who should I start? Alex Collins of the Seattle Seahawks at Pittsburgh or James Conner at Cleveland? Let's start with you here for this one, Andrew. Conner or Collins, who would you rather start?
I'm going to go with Alex Collins because he projects to be the starting running back for the Seattle Seahawks. And I'm always going to, you know, break a tie with the player that I believe is going to get the more of the volume. I mean, James Conner has just been running so hot when it comes to touchdowns. He has 5 rushing touchdowns in the past 3 weeks, but he's not playing a lot of snaps. Like, he's under a 50% snap share. You know, Chase Edmonds is the starting running back for the Arizona Cardinals. So, again, I like the way that the Seahawks used Alex Collins. You know, he was the bell cow, essentially, for them in that game that he filled in for Chris Carson. I know the matchup is not great against the Pittsburgh Steelers, but I wanted to look at the volume here, and James Conner, I just don't know what his role is going to be. If he doesn't score a touchdown, like, you're getting nothing from him, and Alex Collins could easily also find his way into the end zone.
On that note, too, and as far as Chris Carson goes, how concerned are you with him for the rest of the season if you got him on your roster? Like, what are you doing? Are you, if let's say you don't have Collins, what's a backup plan? What should you be doing right now if you have Carson? Because it seems like a situation that could be quickly going in the wrong direction.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't a surprise for anyone that's managed Chris Carson in the past 3 or 4 seasons because he's always gotten hurt. He's never played an entire season. So this shouldn't come as like too shocking that he's, you know, already missed a game in a 17-game season. So yeah, you got to be prepared. You need to stash backup running backs all over the place. I mean, through the first 5 weeks of the season, that's been the story. Every single week, it's been, oh, well, we got another running back we got to pick up off the waiver wire. It's just stash these guys. Like, make sure that you have next week's Darrell Williams already on your roster. Make sure you have next week's Devontae Booker. Like, don't drop Samaje Perine because Joe Mixon's healthy now. He's healthy now.
Right now. Emphasis on now.
Yeah,
Let's emphasize the now.
So you don't need that fifth or sixth wide receiver that you're never going to start, that you're just like praying is going to break out and is never going to start. So just stash these backup running backs all over the place. And if an injury occurs, which it's literally happened every single week, then you can run into some running back production.
All right. How about Conner or Collins for you, Pat? Who would you rather start this week?
Yeah, I'm going to echo Mr. Erickson on this one and go Collins. It's just the volume play that we have seen that Edmonds is the primary guy in Arizona. And yes, Conner has been getting the touchdowns, but sort of can't rely on that. And Collins got, I think, 70% of the offensive snaps last week with Carson out. Even though the matchup is a tough one, the Pittsburgh run D is good again. I think you have to go with the volume here.
All right, let's do another one here. A.J. Dillon, who all of a sudden started catching balls on Sunday, or J.D. McKissic, who we're used to catching football. So this is a little bit different here. Pat, McKissic has a matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs. A.J. Dillon on the road against the Chicago Bears. Who would you rather start in these two?
I've got these guys right next to each other in my rankings, and I have McKissic one spot higher. And I don't know if that's the right call. It just feels like in half-point PPR against this Kansas City defense, a game that really sets up for the OK Corral game script with the two teams going up and down the field. And it's just been hard to guess when to take McKissic because the two games where he's popped, it's been these weird situations where Washington gets into the hurry-up offense multiple times at the end of halves. And that's really kind of unpredictable, but I think if there's a time where we're going to probably see a decent amount of McKissic used, it's going to be a game like this against an offensively potent and defensively deficient opponent. So I like him a little more than Dillon this week.
All right. How about you, Andrew? Dillon or McKissic? Who would you rather start this week?
I'm going with Dylan because he just seems like he's actually part of the offensive game plan. I just don't know like what McKissick's role really is. He just seems like an afterthought in certain game scripts. And I definitely understand the play on McKissick in a matchup. Oh, well, if Washington's trailing, they're going to need to throw a ton, use JD McKissick in the passing game out of the backfield. So I understand why Pat is gravitating towards McKissick. But from a, again, we're always sometimes wrong about how games play out. You know, we always think that we're going to be able to, or Vegas is right. And then it's like, oh, well, we were wrong. So I just try to take it from a more neutral standpoint. And when I just look at these two teams, like Green Bay is using AJ Dillon. He has double digit touches. He has over 80 yards from scrimmage in back-to-back weeks. Like, he's being heavily involved in this offense alongside Aaron Jones, who just continues to be so superly efficient that it doesn't even affect him, really, that A.J. Dillon is as involved as he is. That's just credit to how good Aaron Jones is as a running back. But, I mean, I would expect that A.J. Dillon could benefit from game script here as well against the Chicago Bears. Like, are we going to see Akeem Hicks in this matchup for the Bears? He missed last week. And, I mean, how much is this Bears offense really going to pose a threat to Green Bay and keep this game close? Or is it just going to be A.J. Dillon running out the clock in the third and fourth quarter? So, based on just, like, if this game script is kind of unknown, I think that Dillon will just have a better matchup. And the game script could also work in his favor as well. So I will lean towards Dillon.
Well, I didn't have to break the tie on the first one, but I'll break the tie here. I'm going to break the tie with A.J. Dillon, too. As you mentioned, the all-purpose yards the last 2 weeks trending in the right direction. I also think from the standpoint of watching the Bears defensively, I think you want to get A.J. Dillon, that big body, back some work. I think you want to punish that Bears defense a little bit, make them work for it, and make Khalil Mack, make those kind of people, you know, the Roquan Smiths of the world, you know, work for it. And you got to work a little bit harder to tackle A.J. Dillon. It's just a fact of life. And I think that's probably the approach you want to take. And then I'll probably open up a lot of other things. So Aaron Jones is still the man there. I don't think anybody's doubting that. But it feels also like Antonio Gibson starting to separate a little bit, whereas the early McKissick work may be fading into the background, where I'm a little concerned. But just like Pat, I have them back to back in my rankings too, pretty much. So it is very, very close. Before we move on to wide receiver, I want to tell you about Tick Pick. NFL stadiums are packed again this NFL season, thank goodness. And this is a way with TickPick to get NFL tickets without ridiculous service fees, and it's no longer fantasy. You can actually do it. TickPick is the original no-fee ticket site, and it's teaming up with Zip, the buy now, pay later service provider, to give away 5 huge season ticket packages for the 2022 season. You'll have 5 chances to win 2022 season tickets to your favorite NFL team with a drawing every single month from now until February. Each package is valued at $3,000. And you can enter today by going to tickpick.com/pros. That's tickpick.com/pros. You get a real opportunity to get some tickets without the fees. TickPick is the way to do it. And you might be going with a bunch of your friends to some incredible games in 2022. So visit tickpick.com/pros to get involved today. Let's switch gears over to the wide receiver position, and let's talk about the guys in the top 30 at wide receiver we're concerned. Pat, we'll start with you. Who in the top 30 at wide receiver gives you pause in week 6?
Amari Cooper. I think you're starting him if you have him, but since the opener, that shootout with the Buccaneers where he had 13 targets, his target counts since then, 5, 4, 3, 6. Dallas is just getting in these situations where they are in position to run the ball. Their defense is a lot better than people thought it would be, and so they have not had these shootouts ever since that opener. And, you know, he's got another terrific receiver on the other side, CeeDee Lamb, which, you know, further reduces the chances that Amari's going to go off in any given week. And just for good measure, they're going up against a New England defense that is allowing the 5th highest run rate in the league at 47%. People are really kind of attacking New England on the ground rather than through the air. It just kind of sets up as a low volume game for Amari again.
The injury is certainly not helping either. How about you, Andrew? Who is concerning to you when you look at the top 30 at wide receiver for this week?
For me, it's Adam Thielen, Minnesota Vikings wide receiver. I mean, look, he almost put up a goose egg last week. Like, he got 2 catches with less than 30 seconds left in the game, basically, as the Vikings were trying to get into field goal range. And that's really concerning. You know, we're starting to see this Vikings we thought that going into the season, you know, it was going to be a very concentrated target share. It was going to be Jefferson. It was going to be Thielen. And it kind of started out that way. But now we're seeing way more targets for the running backs. Tight ends are getting involved. Other receivers are getting involved. Like D.D. Westbrook is getting targets. K.J. Osborne is getting targets. So, again, his target share now over the last 4 weeks is 17%. And that's the same as Robbie Anderson. And we all know what it's like to manage Robbie Anderson at this point in time.
I got to depress me in the middle of the show like this.
That's what I always do when I bring up, you know, target shares. I always like to bring it to like, okay, would you start this player or this player? It's like, oh, well, they have the same target share. So kind of put it in perspective, like what you're potentially dealing with and facing with Adam Thielen. Now, again, part of it is obviously weighing in what he did last week. We only saw three targets, but I mean, you look at the past 3 weeks, seven targets, nine targets, and eight targets. It's basically he's needed a touchdown, or he has not gone over 50 receiving yards since week one. His yards per route run is 45th out of 54 qualifying wide receivers per PFF. And, you know, he's an older receiver, and we're starting to see the efficiency fall off. And the biggest concern with Thielen, you know, the reason to fade Thielen heading into the season was the touchdown regression. And so far, that's kind of played out where if he doesn't score, he doesn't really do much for your lineup. So, again, he's in the fringe. Like, I think he's ECR wide receiver 26. So, again, he just had one really, really bad week. So, again, I don't think that you necessarily need to sit him. But I don't see, like, a scenario where he goes off against Carolina, solid pass defense, and there's not a lot of reasons to, like Thielen heading into this matchup.
I'm going to go with the guy who's actually ranked 20th overall wide receiver this week, and it's A.J. Brown. It's not a knock of the talent. It's just, where are we right now with A.J. Brown? That Bills secondary, no less. So now we got to have Tre'Davious White. We got to have Micah Hyde. We got to have Jordan Poyer. We got to have all these guys we got to worry about. And it's starting to feel like a lost season for A.J. Brown, which I know seems like a little doom and gloom. I hope that there's a big second half here ahead of us. I can only hope that that's where we're trending. I just don't see that second half starting now. I don't think this is the week where you circle it and go, this is the breakout. We're going to all be really happy about A.J. Brown. That being said, can I take him out of my lineup? Probably not. That's the hard part, especially with buys starting, is now you can't take him out probably. But I think for better or worse, he's in your lineup. Unfortunately, I think it's going to be for the worse. That's where I'm looking at. You know, Andrew, what are your thoughts on A.J. Brown right now, too, where he's at and this particular week, too? I'm just curious to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I think I'm a little bit higher on A.J. Brown. I mean, I'm an A.J. Brown stan, so I'll admit that off the bat first. But I mean, if you look at the way the Titans have played their matchups the last couple of weeks when Brown has been back, they've just been relying on Derrick Henry because they've been playing terrible run defenses so they can just give Derrick Henry the ball 30 times. And this matchup does not preview like that at all against the Bills, high-powered offense. The Titans are dogs, 5.5 points. This game has a very high under-over. And A.J. Brown didn't do a lot last week, but he did still lead the team in targets. Like, he had the target share that we wanted. And this game has a very high pace of play. That's what we saw last week with the Chargers and Browns. That's why that game was a shootout, because both teams run a ton of plays. Bills and Titans, 69 plays per game this season in regulation. Number one in the NFL. So I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities for this Titans team to actually throw a lot. And I think A.J. Brown can actually have a solid game against this Bills secondary. I know it's good, but like you said, the talent matters. And I think that A.J. Brown's talent is going to vault him, especially now. I think they will have to throw a little bit more than they have had in the past couple weeks.
All right, let's get to some of the guys on the fringe of the wide receiver three position here. And we'll start here. Kadarius Toney is right at number 36, which is probably where he should be at this point. My question for you, Pat Fitzmaurice, if you plucked him off the waiver wire, are you throwing him right into the lineup this week against the Rams?
I am, and there's reason to be fearful with Jalen Ramsey possibly seeing some time against him, not knowing what happens if Sterling Shepard comes back. Apparently he wants to play this week, and you know, we don't know who's going to primarily get slot duties. Is it going to be Toney or Shepard? So there's some ambiguity there, and of course the quarterback situation. We don't know if Daniel Jones is going to be able to play after the severity of the concussion he had last week. It seems pretty unlikely. But man, is Kadarius Toney a special player. And I'm kind of willing to defy all these possible concerns and throw him in there, because I think he could, you know, make his day on one big play. And he has that kind of talent. I mean, this dude just moves like few other players. And, you know, I want to get him in my lineup if I can.
Yeah, I agree with you. Too much talent, like you say, just needs that one big play to make it work. The Rams are going to be a tough assignment. There's no doubt about that. Jalen Waddle's right after him at 37. And I know everyone's down on Jalen Waddle right now. I am not. He's got Jacksonville this week. He's got Tua coming back. Andrew, isn't this the perfect recipe here to get Jalen Waddle on a bounce back and get him back in your lineup?
Yeah, I know that a lot of people are down on Waddle, you know, as the only top 10 rookie selection that didn't like have a major breakout week last week with Pitts and Ja'Marr Chase obviously having massive weeks. But I mean, he's been off to a really solid start. You know, he leads Miami in target share, 18%. He's run a route on 84% of the team's dropbacks, which is the highest among any Miami Dolphins wide receiver. And the matchup is really good against Jacksonville. The Jaguars rank 30th yards per target in receiving yards to slot wide receivers this season. Waddle is the primary slot receiver. And I think that the reason he had such a disappointing game against the Bucs was because Gaskin was kind of taking over more of those short to intermediate targets, which we kind of all thought would go to Waddle as the more short receiver in that offense, with Preston Williams kind of taking the air yards downfield. So again, last week was disappointing, but it's a bounce back spot against Jacksonville. He's got his guy Tua back. So I like Waddle in this matchup.
Yeah, I think Parker and Fuller being out last week and the match, everything just hurt Waddle. Like, it was just a bad situation for him. And I think it's a perfect time to buy low. But this is start sit, not buy low. All right, let's talk about the must starts from this group on that fringe here at wide receiver three. Pat, when you look at this grouping, who do you think is your favorite start this week in these guys that's kind of on that peripheral right around wide receiver three?
I think I kind of want to start LaVisca Chenault this week. So he had a really disappointing week last week. Very few targets. We didn't expect that after the DJ Chark injury, but Miami blitzes and blitzes a lot. And I think Chenault has a good chance to be that hot read for Trevor Lawrence a lot of the time. I am a little bit worried that they moved him outside quite a bit last week and had him line up more there than in the slot. I don't know if that usage is going to stick, but I do feel like he's got to benefit from that Shark absence and that he is going to be, you know, a frequent short area target of Trevor Lawrence this week.
Oh, what about Pat, guys on the Eagles this week against that Tampa Bay Bucs secondary?
Love it. I mean, we know they're going to pass a lot and probably not try to bother running that much. Well, I take that back. I love it for Devonta Smith. I don't know how I feel about Jalen Reagor or Quez Watkins. Like, kind of dicey between those two, but like, I think Devonta Smith is a great play this week.
Does Goddard's COVID situation too, does that change the dynamic a little bit in your mind also in terms of spreading the ball around and targets that might be available either to the receivers or maybe to a guy like Kenneth Gainwell?
Yeah, I mean, it should. That's, you know, a few vacated targets, no question about it. And it seems like teams attack the Buccaneers by throwing to their wideouts or running backs more so than to the tight ends. That's how it's gone thus far. So, yeah, I mean, I think there could be extra targets for Reagor and Watkins and Gainwell, too. But, you know, we'll see if Reagor and Watkins can capitalize. Like, Devonta is the only real certain bet here.
All right, Andrew, how about for you? Who is a guy that you're looking to start this week on that fringe of wide receiver three or maybe as a flex?
I'm going with T. Higgins for the Cincinnati Bengals. I know everyone's obsessed with Ja'Marr Chase, and rightfully so, because all he does is score 30-yard touchdowns because he's just so efficient, and he's been an absolute stud ever since he's entered the NFL, you know, besides obviously the preseason drops. But give some credit to T. Higgins. So Higgins still had 8 targets in his first game back from injury. And when you look at his expected fantasy points output in the 3 games he's played, he's actually it's a higher rate than T. Higgins is, or than Ja'Marr Chase is, excuse me. So T. Higgins is still seeing a lot of opportunities in the Bengals offense. Chase is not necessarily, besides last week, Chase actually isn't really commanding a boatload of targets. Part of the reason is because he's scoring like on every target he gets for the most part. So he's not seeing a lot of volume, where Higgins has seen that volume so far this year. And again, you get the Lions matchup. You could not ask for a better spot. You know, PFF has a strength of schedule tool, and it's the number one matchup for wide receivers on the week. So I will want to go back to T. Higgins. I just like the Bengals offense a lot in this spot. I mean, it's an easy spot to pick on the Lions. And I think people are just a little disappointed with Higgins when he came back. Obviously, Chase is a lot of reason to do that. But Higgins in his own right is still a very good wide receiver. And I think I like him a lot as an upside wide receiver three.
In my rest of season rankings, I've got Chase as a wide receiver one. Have you moved him up there as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to have him as a top 12 guy. Just the fact that he's been doing so much, even without volume, that will eventually find his way over, because when players are really efficient, they just get more targets their way. So it seems like, yeah, he's destined to finish as a top 12 receiver and kind of just do what he did, Justin Jefferson did last year, basically.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Owner's Box, the place where I've been playing a whole lot more daily fantasy lately, and it's because of their new Superflex salary cap game. You know how much I love Superflex, and this is a great opportunity to play this. It was a revolutionary new way to play fantasy football that brings a new strategic alternative to the traditional season-long formats and daily fantasy games. The Superflex salary cap format, available only at Owner's Box, removes the kicker in the defense position slots and focuses on the offensive players only, the way it should be. Users will build a 9-player lineup while staying under the $50,000 salary cap. Large prize pools will be available throughout the season. The Superflex position, the main differentiator of the contest, gives the user the option to select an additional quarterback, running back, or wide receiver, or tight end. Ultimately, it makes the quarterback a premium position versus the other formats. So, what do you want to do? You want to go play with the promo code DREW9 and get yourself $10 for free, a $10 free entry into the salary cap contest of your choice. Again, that promo code is DREW9 over at Owner's Box, and you can play for free. Adding a Superflex spot is the way to do it. So go download Owner's Box today, use that promo code DREW9, and start to get your Superflex on. And now, back to the action. All right, so if those are the guys we're starting, Andrew, let's talk about a guy that we're sitting this week. Who do you not like a matchup? Who's on that fringe or is a flex play that might look good because of the stats, but maybe not so good depending on the matchup?
Yeah, so I was really torn with this one. I thought about it for a while, and it's Odell Beckham Jr. Like, I'm just so torn on what to do with this guy because he came back off the injury, and we got the routes, the targets, the air yards, everything looked good, and it was like, all right, smash spot against the Vikings, let's do it. And then just Baker Mayfield like missed him on 2 touchdowns. They weren't on the same page. And that kind of happened again in this past week. Like, they're just not on the same page. When Baker Mayfield has targeted Odell Beckham, he's generated a 68.8 passer rating, which is 10th worst in the NFL this season. So I would love to say and come on here and be like, yeah, like Beckham, this is a buyback opportunity, you know, buy low on OBJ. But when I kind of lay out the facts, it's just like, yeah, he leads the team in targets, air yards, and routes per run, but his target rate per route run is really, really low. It's below 10%. So even though he is out there and running routes, you know, Mayfield is opting to throw to Hunt or David Njoku or Donovan Peoples. Like, Donovan Peoples Jones was getting like no targets all year, and then he just gets more targets than Odell Beckham. Just like random. Like, he had, like, it was like called out as like one of the worst target rates in the NFL, and then all of a sudden he gets more targets than OBJ in this past week. So I get the upside of him, but you know, maybe that's really more of the name brand that I'm kind of attaching that upside call to. It's like, when was the last time we actually saw him blow up? You know, guys that are at his age and they sometimes fall off. You know, AJ Green saw a lot of opportunities last year and just never delivered. And maybe we're starting to see that a little bit with Beckham. So, right, I'm trying to find alternatives to him. And the Cardinals also have a pretty good pass defense. Their PFF defensive coverage grade, pass rush grade are both top three, where their run defense is 31st. So I think we're going to see Browns go ground and pound, and I think that makes Beckham a liability in your lineup.
Yeah, everything you just mentioned is why I didn't want to draft Odell Beckham anywhere, because he hadn't done it in a while, and the injuries on top of it. I mean, this is a player that's been hurt a lot in his career. He was hurt when he came into the league, and on top of that, the age, as you mentioned, and I think the name brand value and the highlight reel memories of people just outweighs the actual productivity that we've seen the last 2 to 3 years of that player. So I think that's just where we are. How about you, Pat? Is there somebody that's on that fringe of wide receiver three or a possible flex play that you think is dangerous this week that you want to sit?
Yeah, let me stick with Jacksonville again and go to Marvin Jones, who didn't really gain anything from DJ Chark's absence last week. Only 5 targets, 1 catch, and this week he's probably going to get Xavien Howard. And that's one of the problems with Chark being gone, is that now it's a good chance that Jones is going to be drawing the opponent's top outside cornerback, and I think he's going to see a lot of Howard this week. So not real excited about that matchup.
No, I can understand. All right, let's go to who should I start. Let's play a little game. These guys were very close, and actually, we talked about both of them, but let's say you only got one spot for one guy. Jalen Waddle at Jacksonville or Laviska Shenault versus Miami. Who you have in this matchup here? Who would you start, Pat?
Close. Again, these guys are right next to each other in my rankings, but I'll go with Viska here.
Okay. What's the reason for Visca? The touchdown upside?
Yeah, no, just the, as I mentioned, like I kind of like that idea that he's going to be the hot read guy this week when Miami puts the blitz on Trevor Lawrence and, you know, that short area guy. I think he's kind of the odds on bet to lead Jacksonville in targets this week.
All right, Andrew, how about you? Chenault or Waddle, who would you start?
I'm going to start Jalen Waddle. I mentioned the matchup in the slot. I think that it's a good matchup for Miami's slot wide receiver, which is Jalen Waddle. And man, I was all over Chenault last week in DFS, and the fact that we
me
saw,
too, it did not work out.
The fact that we saw guys like Jamal Agnew just like command so many targets in that offense, and for Urban Meyer to talk about how he didn't realize he wasn't giving James Robinson enough touches. I just have no faith in any of these Jaguars, so I'll go with Miami there.
Andrew, I had Adams, I had Chase together, and Chenault was the third guy. And I thought, this can't go wrong. And you see the day from Adams, and you see the day from Chase, and it cashes, but it doesn't cash like it should. Like it should, because Chenault got held back. I'm going to break the tie again, and here's what I would say. I think Chenault actually brings a little bit more touchdown upside, so I would go with him in the standard or in the half. In the full PPR, I think Jalen Waddle gets back to work. That's kind of how I would disseminate between these two guys. Next, Rondale Moore or Hunter Renfrow Moore, a little bit more, I would say, exciting of a play, more potential. He's going at Cleveland. And then you got Hunter Renfrow, very steady at Denver. Andrew, we'll start with you. Moore or Renfrow, who would you start this week?
I'm going to go with Rondale Moore. We saw his role grow a little bit more last week, and I think it had to do with Max Williams getting injured. I know people kind of look at Max Williams as like, oh, like he's a tight end, like, but he was actually like being targeted and being involved in that Cardinals offense. Like Kyler Murray was looking for him, and I don't think it's a coincidence that we saw Rondale Moore's route participation increase to 57% in week 5, which is actually ahead of Christian Kirk for the first time all year. So it was always Christian Kirk was always running routes at a higher rate than Rondale Moore, but that switched in week 5. So I think that it's a sign of things to come. You know, Rondale Moore, basically whenever he's gotten the ball, which they have heavily featured him when he's been on the field, he's been explosive. He almost scored a rushing touchdown. It was very close to scoring a rushing touchdown in their last game. And I mean, the guy is a highlight reel every time he touches the ball. So I think that with one less pass catcher, even though, you know, Max Williams, he was seeing, I think, like a 13% target share. I mean, that matters. Like, that's enough for other players to get more involved. So the fact that Moore just was able to potentially unseat Christian Kirk in the pecking order, I'm going to lean towards him. I know Renfrow is like that steady commodity, and that's probably why I'm just going to chase the upside with Rondale Moore. If I get burned, oh well.
All right, Pat, how about you? The upside of Moore or the steady Renfrow?
The upside of Moore. Second what Andrew said about the Max Williams injury being potentially beneficial, not to mention that AJ Green went back on the milk carton last week after being heavily involved for a while, but not so much last week. And, you know, just the fact that they're scheming these easy touches to him, these little swing passes, the runs, like they want him to get the ball in this horizontal Cliff Kingsbury passing attack. And it suits Rondale so well to get him these little quick passes in the flat where he can make guys miss. And, you know, we saw him come within a yard of a touchdown last week. You know, here's betting that he gets one this week.
All right, let's move over to the quarterback position. Talk about guys in the top 12 that we're fading or concerned with a little bit. I'm a little concerned with Sam Darnold against the Vikings. Not because Sam Darnold hasn't played well this year, because he has, and I don't want to take anything away from him, but the schedule is starting to get tougher. It's starting to be some more difficult matchups here. Minnesota is going to be traveling to Carolina. Now, look, if Carolina is getting Christian McCaffrey back this week, that certainly makes me feel a little bit more warm and fuzzy about Sam Darnold. But he's also right on that fringe, which means when you're on the fringe, there's guys that you could make cases for above Sam Darnold, who is ranked number 12 overall in the consensus this week. Andrew, how about you? Is there a quarterback in that top 12 that you're concerned with?
Yeah, I'm going to just kind of echo Sam Darnold. I wrote in the doc, pile on Sam Darnold.
I saw that.
Because we saw what Sam Darnold from the Jets was in week 5. Like that. I mean, look, it's the pressure. Like the guy cannot operate under pressure. And right now, the Carolina Panthers have PFF's 32nd graded pass blocking unit. And it's going to cause issues for him. It's basically him having flashbacks of his New York Jet days when he was basically under pressure all the time. So it was really, really hard to understand, like, get a grip of what kind of quarterback Darnold was, because he was always under pressure and always under duress. But last week, he was pressured on a season-high 57% of his dropbacks. And in week six, I don't anticipate that being very different. Minnesota Vikings, again, their defense is playing much better than when they started the season. Mike Zimmer is starting to right the ship. They rank fifth in pressure rate this season per PFF's strength of schedule tool. It's the second toughest matchup for quarterbacks. And the Vikings have been ninth best against QBs in fantasy points allowed over the past 4 weeks. So I think that you hit the nail on the head, Joe, when you said Sam Darnold benefited from an easy schedule, because that's exactly what he did. And I'm still not convinced that he is this messiah that has now arrived in Carolina to bring the Panthers to the promised land of the playoffs. Like, I've seen enough of Sam Darnold that, you know, I wasn't willing to, you know, quote unquote, take the L on being off of Sam Darnold after 4 weeks against really easy defenses. So yeah, I think we saw a little bit more of what we're probably going to see more of with Sam Darnold for the rest of the season when he actually has to face legitimate competition.
All right. You want to pile on too, Pat, or you got another guy?
I'm not going to pile on Sam anymore. You guys have done adequately there. So I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers, which kind of hurts me as a Packers fan in a Packers-Bears week. Big rivalry game. But, you know, Rodgers is quarterback 18 right now. I think his highest single week finish so far is quarterback 8. So, you know, the floor has been okay, but the ceiling has been not spectacular. Part of it is that he just doesn't run anymore. I think he's got 8 rushing yards on the season. And the Bears defense, like, I thought their secondary was going to get picked on all year. It's actually held up better than I thought. And the Bears are only giving up 16 points per game to opposing quarterbacks. Jalen Johnson is probably the best cornerback in the league no one's heard about. So, you know, I don't know if there's the smash week potential for Rodgers that you usually get. And, you know, he could go and burn me with a 5 or 6 touchdown week. That's always in the range of outcomes for, you know, one of the best quarterbacks ever to play. But just the way it kind of lines up for fantasy this week, like, I think he's a real borderline QB1, maybe should be more in the high end QB2 range.
All right, let's talk about the guys on the fringe of QB1 or in those deeper leagues. Darnold's at 12, Heinicke's at 13. He's got a matchup versus Kansas City. Cousins at Carolina is 14. Derek Carr's at 15 at Denver. Trevor Lawrence versus Miami and Tannehill versus Buffalo. I think we'll leave Tannehill out of this conversation. Lawrence, Carr, Cousins, Heinicke. Who would your favorite guy be, Pat, in that grouping that you would want to start that's like right on that fringe of QB1?
Heinicke, for sure. QB12 in his 4 starts so far, and in this turbocharged game script against the Chiefs that sets up as a real shootout and real pass-friendly. Like, I think Heinicke could have a QB1 week easily.
Heinicke's that guy that I circled, too. How about you, Andrew? Who's the best guy in the streaming quarterback conversation?
It's Tyler Heinicke. He's got everything that you'd want from a streaming quarterback. He's got the Konami code. He's been rushing a lot. He's got the great matchup against the Chiefs defense that's basically been the worst defense against quarterbacks this year. And he has a quarterback that can push the narrative and make them continue to have to score. So I think it really kind of sets the stage perfectly for Heinicke. And we've seen enough of him already to have confidence to, hey, just throw him in your lineup and feel good about it.
Guys, has Tannehill been a bust this year because of the wide receiver health, or because of Ryan Tannehill? Pat, do you have any feelings on this?
Good question. Maybe a little bit because of the wide receiver health. Like, you have to figure it would be better if he had A.J. Brown and Julio Jones for all 5 games so far. But, you know, it's not for lack of pass volume. Like, he's had 2 games, I think, where he's had fewer than 30 attempts, but like he had a 49 attempt game and a couple other big ones. So it's just kind of weird. Like, we haven't gotten much out of him from, as a runner yet, but I don't know. I think it's going to be a little better. I don't love the spot for him this week, but maybe once, you know, we have both AJB and Julio back there, things will get better again.
Andrew, what should we expect for the Superflex players out there for Derek Carr this week with John Gruden now out as coach? You know, sometimes when a coach gets moved on from or resigns or whatever it is, oftentimes you see a team rally. That happens quite a bit. And I know that's been a tumultuous relationship, to say the least, between coach and quarterback over these last few years. What's your expectations for Carr this week?
Maybe if they were playing like the Jags, I could get maybe if they're playing like Urban Meyer, I could get behind that. I just don't think I like the matchup. Again, obviously you have that narrative that, you know, they could bounce back as they rally around, you know, having their coach being dismissed. But I mean, look, Derek Carr has been bad over the last 2 weeks after starting the season on like hot. Like, he was just throwing a ton. He was against good defenses, and we're like, okay, is this legit? But then, kind of like what the Raiders do, is they start out 3-0 and then they sizzle out, and you're just like, because people kind of catch on to like what they're doing. So unless they come out with just this whole new plan, which I don't necessarily think they're going to be able to just come up with in 1 week without, you know, a new coaching staff, I just have concerns about that. So in the last two games, he's failed to eclipse more than 12 fantasy points per game. And then, I mean, the Broncos are a really good defense, you know, second in fantasy points allowed to the quarterbacks this season. So if it was in a better spot, maybe I could get behind it, but I mean, Carr doesn't run. He's a statue quarterback. He's going to have to throw it. And I mean, his receivers have just been like letting him down, like whether it's been Brian Edwards dropping balls or Henry Ruggs, like just too much inconsistency. And like even Darren Waller, to an extent, like since week one, when he saw like 20 targets, it's kind of been like production.
Yeah, again,
again, it's tight end, so you're not like complaining because Waller's like has a pulse. Right.
And still makes you tight end too.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. But, you know, he hasn't necessarily stepped up, I think, like a lot of people thought that he would as like a second round pick.
All right, this week for people who lost Russell Wilson, I talked about this at length on Monday on the Waiver Wire show. I thought that Ben Roethlisberger was a really good kind of plug and play this week if you just want to try to stream. It's against Seattle. They're in Pittsburgh. I mean, I know it's not going to be pretty necessarily, but do you guys support that as Roethlisberger as a starter this week just based on matchup? Pat, do you approve that message or am I crazy here?
No, I mean, if you're really desperate in a 1QB league or in a 2QB league, I think he's absolutely playable against the Seattle defense. That's just and then, you know, Trey Flowers isn't around anymore. Yeah, so, I mean, as if they didn't have enough problems with coverage. So, like you said, at home on the road, I probably wouldn't chance it. But at home, I think he could be a sneaky good play this week.
Bring back the Big Ben home road splits. Let's go.
Yeah, oh my God, that's right.
Oh, that was a good 2+ years that lasted, by the way, boys.
He was money. He just couldn't, like, he was like 400 yards at home and on the road. So it's like everyone just, every article, every start sit article was like, Big Ben on the road.
Well, it's because like for 2.5 years, it was true. Like, I don't know why it was true. I don't know. Strange stuff. All right. Let's get to who should I start question. Derek Carr at Denver or Trevor Lawrence versus Miami. Andrew, who would you rather start here in this one?
I'm going to go with Trevor Lawrence. I've liked what I've seen out of him over the past couple weeks. He's starting to run more. Like, and that was something that was really underrated about his game. So again, he flashed the rushing upside, second straight week, 7 rushes for 28 yards and a rushing touchdown. He also threw for 273 passing yards, which was actually his best fantasy outing of the year. First time he crested over 20 fantasy points. And actually in week 5, he was at 26.2 expected fantasy points, which actually ranked 5th among all quarterbacks. I like to look at expected fantasy points as a nice predictor of future success. And I mean, so far right now, the Miami Dolphins have just been a defense that once was feared. They have actually allowed the 4th most fantasy points to quarterbacks over the last 4 weeks. So you have Trevor Lawrence running a lot more, which adds to his floor, and he's a good matchup. He likes to throw the ball downfield. I think it's a good spot for Trevor Lawrence in a pseudo home game in London.
Yeah, those numbers also skewed a little bit by Josh Allen and Tom Brady having field days against that defense. I mean, that certainly could account for a little bit of inflation when it comes to that number. How about you, Pat? Trevor Lawrence or Derek Carr? Which way would you go?
I've got to oppose Andrew here and go with Carr. He made some really good points, like anti-Carr points earlier. But so I think that, you know, Lawrence has had 3 passing touchdowns in 4 games. And like, you just can't count on the passing output with him. And, you know, he's made up for it by running in touchdowns the last couple of weeks. But we know that's not really something bankable. And as Andrew said earlier, like, we've seen Carr get it done against good pass defenses this year. And I just don't know what else they're going to do. Like, I don't think they can sustain a running game and pound it 25 times with Josh Jacobs this week. So I kind of think that's the way they have to go. And I'd rather bet that way with Carr, you know, throwing 40 times this week than with, you know, Trevor Lawrence trying to run it in.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'm going to break the tie on this one. I'm going to lean with Carr this time, just because in division matchup, I think the happiest person to see John Gruden gone might actually be Carr. Like, he might be very happy that guy's finally gone. Like, it just seemed like a bad relationship to me the entire time. So maybe it's just a little bit of a free Carr going out there, having this matchup against Denver. And once again, it's in division. It's an important game here for them after a terrible showing last week. I think they rally around a little bit. And as much as I like the athleticism of Trevor Lawrence in this game, the mistakes in the game plan are always a problem. Let's move over to tight end, which is typically a problem every single week. Who are the guys that we have concerns with in the top 12? Well, for me, it's Hockenson because, well, the health hasn't been there and the productivity hasn't been there. And you could say, well, it's because of the health and that's fair. But you know what? Until that turns around, you can't take him out of your lineup because I fail to see a lot of better options that you have streaming off the waiver wire that you're going to plug in that's better than the upside of TJ Hockenson. But at the same time, I think if they look to your flex spot for maybe potentially more productivity, Pat, how about you at the tight end position? Who kind of scares you in the tight end one group this week?
I'm not real excited about Jared Cook. It just seems like the Chargers passing game goes pretty much through those wide receivers. And why not when you've got Mike Williams and Keenan Allen? Cook has been below 30 yards in three of his five games. And like, very fair to ask if Donald Parham is the better tight end with the Chargers at this point. Plus, they work Steven Anderson into the mix, too. It's kind of a three tight end attack, splitting up not a lot of tight end targets. So, I can't trust Cook as a tight end one this week.
Nothing like a three-headed monster at tight end. Great. Everyone's favorite fantasy thing. Andrew, how about you? Top 12 tight ends, who are you fading this week?
So, Mike Gesicki is ranked really, really high in ECR. I think he's like tight end six. And I mean, he was fourth in targets last week on the Miami Dolphins. Like, he does this all the time. Like, the minute that we're like, all right, finally can trust Mike Gesicki, we're good to go. And then, oh, wait, like four targets, four catches. Okay. So, and the biggest thing I think with Gesicki too is we really saw his spike in production come with Jacoby Brissett under center. So if they do go back to Tua, what does that mean for Gesicki in the targets? I mean, this Miami Dolphins target pecking order has really fluctuated a lot. You know, is Parker playing? You know, is who's the quarterback? So it's like the only consistent really player that really has been has actually been Waddle. Like on a week-to-week basis, like he's always been either one or two in terms of targets in an offense where everyone else has kind of been up and down. You know, Miles Gaskin has a huge week and then he disappears in the next week. So I can't trust Gesicki. I know that you kind of have to rank him as a top 12 tight end because he's there and he plays a lot. But besides that, and they're playing the Jags, so it's a good matchup. But again, if you don't see the targets, it doesn't matter who you're playing. So I have some concerns about Gesicki.
Well, we're down another tight end for sure this week because it just came across Rob Gronkowski, who didn't practice this week, is going to be out again this week. So that'll be the third game now missed for him. So we'll be looking for more guys, which means we got to ask, who should I start? Jared Cook at Baltimore or Ricky Seals-Jones of the Washington football team? Andrew, you got any feelings about these two? Who would you start, Ricky Seals-Jones or Jared Cook?
You can't rank Ricky Seals-Jones high enough this week. I really think that he's, I don't want to say like bulletproof.
You know what? He's my favorite cheap DFS tight end of the week this week. Spoiler alert, on Thursday's show, we're going to talk a lot about Ricky Seals-Jones.
But everything that I like stand for when it comes to tight ends, like looking at route participation.
Stand for? What does that even snap, mean? Snap, what do snap you stand shift? For when it comes to
it's,
tight ends?
It's all about routes run. Like that's everything okay. That I've been kind of found out over the last 2 years, especially working at PFF is, you know, you need the tight ends to be running routes. Like, it's so key to, it doesn't matter how good they are. Like, Dallas Goedert was never going to be productive because he was running, you know, under 60% of the team's routes, splitting time with Zach Ertz. And that's why he hasn't really been productive this season. But Ricky Seals-Jones, you know, he ran a route on 87% of Taylor Heineke's dropbacks last week. That was top three. 99% snap share. Like, he literally didn't leave the field except for one play. And he's also seen five end zone targets over the past 2 weeks. So, like, I mean, the playing there, the routes run is there, the high value targets are there. And then
the red zone targets were there last week. But it was there.
It's a great matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs. Through 5 weeks, KC's allowed the most receiving yards to tight ends, and they have not played their own tight end, Travis Kelce. So I don't think those numbers are necessarily super inflated because he's the best tight end in the NFL. So I love RSJ, and people keep asking me on Twitter, like, oh, who do I film for Pitts this week? RSJ. It's RSJ. So I think that whatever, if you don't like your tight end you have right now, just pick up Ricky Seals-Jones and start him.
All right, Pat, I know you don't like Jared Cook, but do you like it more than Ricky Seals-Jones this week?
No, I do not. I echo everything Andrew said, not to mention the fact that, you know, with Washington kind of thin at wide receiver after Terry McLaurin, no Curtis Samuel this week, it appears. I don't know what De'Ami Brown's status is, but yeah, so, I mean, I think this is really set up well for an RSJ week.
All right, so everybody loves Ricky Seals-Jones this week. Let's see who else we love. Let's get to our top starts and sits of the week. My top start this week is going to be Myles Gaskin. I'm a big fan of the Gaskin workload turning around. I think last week was eye-opening. I think if Miami's going to have a shot to stay relevant, they're going to have to get the ball in Miles Gaskin's hand a little bit more. Tua coming back helps a lot as well. So I think Gaskin's that guy I want to get back in. And you know what? If I have an option to sit AJ Brown, I'm going to. I just don't think he's going to do anything this week. I think there's guys on that fringe of wide receiver three in PPR leagues that are going to have, I don't know, 6-7 catches for 70 yards, probably no touchdown, but we'll have more points than AJ Brown. I hate the matchup against Buffalo. I hate that he's not healthy. I hate that he was on snap count last week. And I just hate the fact that I have too much AJ Brown. So really, it's more of a personal thing, but also for everybody out there too, I think if you have better options, you might want to look at them right now, especially if you're in must-win mode. I just don't think this is the week where AJ Brown turns around. I think he will, just not this week. Pat, how about for you? Who's your must-start and must-sit of the week for week six?
Boy, I could go with either Washington option here with Taylor Heinicke or Ricky Seals-Jones. I love both of these guys. I'll go with Heinicke. I do think this matchup just sets up to be a shootout. Andrew mentioned the Konami code and, you know, just the fact that Heinicke has already somewhat proven himself a pretty reliable fantasy asset as the quarterback 12 through his first four starts.
I don't know if Andrew's allowed to say things like Konami code because, like, he grew up with PlayStation 3, probably. Like, that's why he started playing video games. Like, right. we had the old school Nintendo and things where we had to do the stupid up, up, down nonsense. Like, you don't even understand the pain, Andrew, of these kind of things that we had to go through in our youth. Andrew, right. How about you? Who's your most... Did I get your must sit? Because I was so upset about Andrew's video game situation.
Yeah, exactly. I know, Andrew. Like, that's his old school. That's his Space Invaders, the Konami code stuff. So, and Adam Thielen. I've got to jump on that one. Andrew was spot on with his mention about, you know, if the touchdown thing doesn't work out for Adam Thielen, there's not a lot to fall back on with four straight games under 50 yards. Clearly, Justin Jefferson is the alpha receiver there. And now there are all these like tertiary options like KJ Osborne and even D.D. Westbrook. So good point there. He's my set.
All right, Andrew, who are your must start and sit players for week six?
Shockingly, my start is Ricky Seals-Jones. I know it comes very surprising to anyone that's just tuning in. And then my sit is Allen Robinson. I just can't get behind a guy that this offense has just become so anemic with just relying on the run. That's all they want to do. They have the highest run rate on early downs since week two. And, you know, Robinson has always been a player that he's got the volume. Like, that's why we could always chase him as a safe, secure, top 15 wide receiver. He has 14 targets in the last three games. And it's not just him in the offense. Like, Justin Fields is throwing the ball to Darnell Mooney. He's throwing the ball to Cole Kmet. And so even though Robinson has like a 28% target share over the past 2 weeks, it's not good because they just aren't throwing the ball at all. And I don't know if they're playing behind against the Packers, maybe we do see them open it up a little bit. But until I see them actually throw the ball with Fields and kind of like build an offense around him more, I don't trust, you know, Allen Robinson, especially because I think Mooney is kind of more of the preferred downfield option, which actually takes advantage of Fields' arm strength. So I just can't. I mean, I talked about Robinson last week as a sit, and I was right. So I'm just going to keep rolling with the punches.
Riding the wave. Yeah, AJ Brown, Allen Robinson, Robbie Anderson. There's been a lot of guys this year that look like pretty safe plays that were not. Real quick, guys, Thursday Night Football, Bucks and Eagles. Andrew, any concern with this thumb injury that Brady's been dealing with at all?
I'm pretty sure Brady would make a deal with the devil to make sure that he could play in this game. So I have no qualms of him missing or being limited in any capacity.
All right, Pat, we already kind of mentioned that we might think Gainwell is a better play than Sanders, but is Ertz an option for people this week at tight end with Goddard most likely out for this one?
Yeah, if Goddard's out, I think you have to put Ertz in your top 10. Not necessarily a smash matchup, but I think he's going to get enough volume to, you know, look how thin the tight end position is, Joe. I think he sneaks inside the top 10 pretty easily this week.
All right, who has the most fantasy points at wide receiver for the Bucks this week, Pat?
Godwin.
Godwin, okay.
I second that, Godwin.
Oh, my, yeah, the right answer is always Antonio Brown, guys. When are you going to realize the right answer is always AB? All right, that'll do it for us. Make sure you check out all the great stuff over at my playbook at fantasypros.com. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel as well, youtube.com/fantasypros. I want to thank the sponsors of today's show, including TickPick. Make sure you head over to TickPick.com. That's TickPick.com/pros. And there you get an opportunity to win season ticket packages for your favorite NFL team for the 2022 season. And don't forget about the Superflex contest over at Owner's Box. Download the app today. Start playing Superflex with that code Drew9. You get $10 free entry on them. Again, that's at Owner's Box. And the promo code is Drew9. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Andrew Erickson and Pat Fitzmaurice, I'm Joey P. We will see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.